Well, thank you guys for joining, and this is great. I think this is the largest group we've had for a while, so it's always great to see you. We look forward to these things. Patricia may jump on. I'm not sure, but I actually want to start with that because some of you may have heard or watched her video. I wanted to give you guys an update on her. I spent some time with her yesterday. She's doing great. If you haven't heard, she did go into hospital last week. Yeah, last week. She had had, after all the fun and celebration of her birthday celebration and the ministry celebration, she had what's called AFib. And you guys may understand that better than I do, but basically it means her heart was out of rhythm. So she went into hospital. They checked her out. They said there are some things that need to be addressed, but they said very much, and as we've prayed into it, we feel this way too. They said everything is very fixable. One of the things I want to say about this is I've been, you know, you go through the range of emotions when somebody you're so close to is in hospital with everything going on with Uri, my wife. And as I prayed into it, one of the things that I thought was so amazing, because, you know, we're a prophetic ministry, all of us, you guys are absolutely part of the ministry, obviously, as our partners. But one of the things that really struck me is if you guys were able to be with us for Patricia's celebration online that we streamed live, one of the things that was really cool is the number of prophetic words that were spoken over her about the many, many years to come. And it helped me remember that's one of the purposes of the prophetic. You know, it's to exhort, it's to edify, it's to encourage. And a lot of times, you know, we get prophetic words and absolutely we get excited about them because they're from God, and a single word from God can change everything, can strengthen everything, can shift everything. I mean, to me, the great example of the power of the prophetic is when the Lord said, let there be light. And there was. And there can be an entire world covered with darkness and in chaos. And one word from the Lord, or in that case, three words, let there be light. Four words from the Lord. Sorry, I'm still having my coffee. Counting in my head is hard. Four words from the Lord literally changed everything, from darkness to light, from chaos to kingdom order. So here, yes, what Patricia went through and is going through right now is serious, but not only are we getting really, really encouraging words from the doctors, she was telling me yesterday how amazing her cardiac team is. She's out of hospital. She's resting at home. She was doing great yesterday, feeling, she said it's the best she's felt since she's been out of the hospital. But even with the procedures that are coming up that are all like maintenance procedures. Again, the good news is everyone's saying her heart is really, really strong, really healthy. It's just the electrical system and some of the veins that need some care and maintenance, and the plan's in place. We all feel great about it. Not only though, because we have these really encouraging words from the doctors, but we have all these words from God that before we got this news, before she checked into hospital, we had words for her, for our ministry, for us, that there are years and years and even decades of fruitfulness and productivity to come. And that's really part of the prophetic. It's so when we go through something challenging, we can not only be in the moment to address those things, but we can contend for from the truth, from the victory that God has already told us about. I find it very interesting that God didn't drop out. We had some of the most respected and seasoned prophets in the charismatic stream at that event that were prophesying over Patricia and our ministry. Not one of them heard from the Lord to say, there's a heart issue coming up. Sorry. God didn't even address that. Not because it's not significant, but it's because it's a bump in the road. Because God wanted to focus on one of the ways that we get through the challenging times is by focusing on the truth. And so often that's what we have prophetic words for, to remind us of what's coming. I had somebody say to me the other day, I had lunch with a friend who's been in ministry for years, and their ministry's profile has been raised very, very high. And we were talking about some of the encounters we've had with God over the years, and how so often those really big encounters, those like Gideon level of encounters, and this is somebody who has had open-eyed encounters with angels that have given words about what God is doing in their ministry, where God's taking them. And we've looked back on that. You know, when you're in the moment, it's amazing, and it really fuels you. But not one person, including myself, who and the times I've had either felt or seen encounters with the angelic or with the Lord himself. Never once had, how do I want to say this? Every single time, let me put it that way, down the road, I needed to clearly know what the Lord had spoken so that it would keep me encouraged, keep me fueled.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I could compare myself to my buddy who's had, you know, has woken up, angels are standing at the end of his bed. I've not had that. But what I've had is I've had where I know God is speaking. I've had flashes of light. But even more than that, I have this. I have the Bible. I have the Word of God, and we contend from eternal truth as strong from this as we do from a personal word. So that's what I wanted to start with today. I wanted to let you know Patricia's doing really well. She feels like they're getting things figured out. There are procedures coming up, but we feel really, really good about them. Yesterday, when we were visiting, somebody else that was there asked her, so there's different paths you can go. And they're going to figure out what's the best for her. There's medicine to deal with it. There are these procedures to deal with some of the veins that aren't working quite the way they're supposed to and feeding the heart and feeding the body. And then there was a really significant type of surgery. And they said, what's your preference? And Patricia, I love this. Patricia just said, just fix it. Whichever way it is, it's going to be okay. It's God's going to be with us. We've got words from God. I've got a great team of people praying for me. We've got a great family, which is all of you as well, praying. We know what's on the other side of this. So whatever path the doctors decide to go with, as long as none of us get a big check about it, it's fine. Because I know what's, she was saying, I know what's on the other side. Let's just get there. The path doesn't really matter because God's going to be on any of those three paths. And I love that. And it's such a great reminder for all of us. The other update I wanted to give you guys, because some partners have been so kindly, I'll get emotional, reaching out to support Uri and I and what we're going through, have been asking for updates. And I want to brag on my wife. She's doing great. She's a warrior. She's a champion. Now, not everybody has agreed with the path we have chosen, and some people have communicated that in a variety of ways, which makes me smile because I just see the love and concern in all of it. But in addition to prayer, a lot of intercession, a lot of contending in the spirit, we've also, as many of you probably know, my wife is a physician. She is a doctor with a naturopathic practice, and she specializes in the endocrine system. But really what she specializes is in figuring out things a lot of other doctors don't figure out. She wouldn't tell you this, but I will. My wife is incredibly brilliant, and she's one of the very best at what she does. And she takes a naturopathic approach to traditional medicine. So, you know, she's a big believer that God designed the body to heal itself, and you find the root issues and you deal with the root issues, and then you support the body with what it needs. And that could be in a moment something radical, because something has gone to a degree, it needs a radical interruption, and then you assist and support the body in what it needs to heal and strengthen. So we have decided together that the approach we wanted to take, because she also has been blessed, God has shown up through her doctors in incredible ways. Every single person she talks to who's also in the medical field, when they say, who are you working with? And she says the three doctors she's working with, every single person has said, oh my gosh, you got the A-team. Those are the best doctors in the valley for this. So we praise God all the time for his faithfulness in that. And she's going through chemo, and that's what I'm building up to. And a lot of people don't agree with that, but we really felt that the cancer had progressed to a significant state. And I won't go into all the gory details, but it was a significant state that we felt some significant interruption needed to occur. We prayed and prayed and prayed, and it wasn't that God didn't show up. Prayers always work. Prayers always have an impact. And I have a praise report on that as well. But we didn't significant size tumor immediately disappear. So as we prayed into it, we felt like God wanted her to go with the doctor's approach, a type of chemo and minimal radiation, followed by a different type of chemo, and then a surgery to remove whatever's left of the tumor. And every single one of the doctors has said, we believe this is one and done. We believe not only that you're going to come through this, don't be shocked by the size of the tumor. You're going to come through this. This is a really good plan. And as we've continued to pray and contend and intercede and go through this, she's now on the third round of chemo with three to go. There are side effects. There are challenges, but she's amazing and God has been amazing. She has, I tell her all the time, honey, you're doing way better with this than I would. She is strong. She's a warrior. She's doing well. And the really good news that we've gotten is not only that the tumor has shrunk significantly by more than 50%, but here's what's really cool to show us that even, you know, because man of faith, husband, radically in love with my wife, hating to see her suffer. I was in such faith that, you know, we'd pray and I've seen tumors disappear through prayers, through my prayers. I've watched tumors disappear. And I had so much faith. And when it didn't, I'll be completely, this is family time. So I'll be totally vulnerable with you guys. It wasn't that I doubted God. It wasn't even that I doubted me, but part of me ached. It was like, God, I've watched you dissolve tumors. Do it for my wife. And we didn't see it immediately dissolve, but here's the really great report. We didn't budge. We kept praying. We kept contending. Her doctors have said two things all along the way. We've never seen anyone, and these are some of the top oncology doctors, radiation doctors, and oncology surgeons. They are the top in the valley. They deal with hundreds of cases a year. Said we have never seen someone respond to treatment so well. And they said we have never seen a tumor develop necrosis so quickly. And what that means, she had to explain it to me. Necrosis sounded nasty to me. It is. It means the tumor is literally dying from the inside. And rarely does this stuff cause that. It causes it to shrink, to be removed. So every prayer has worked. When we have taken authority over that tumor and commanded it to go, it's literally dying and shriveling from the inside. Sometimes God works an immediate miracle. Sometimes it's a progressive healing. And then other times, we recently had a dear family member of our ministry and team go home to heaven, who we were contending for and praying for, and she was getting a lot better on some different things. But then, I'm still in a little bit of shock, because when Patricia texted me to tell me, you're staring at your phone going, well, I can't be reading this right. That can't be right. But she went home to heaven, and so we're there for her husband, and as best we can, you know, all the emotions that we all go through in those times. But, and I hope no one is hurt by what I'm about to say, but I truly believe this. It's not that we're not grieving the loss and grieving for him who is lost, but I do believe that she's healthy and whole in heaven. So sometimes God heals through an immediate miracle. Sometimes he heals through progressive healings. Sometimes he heals by bringing someone home to heaven. I don't fully understand that. I always expect the immediate miracle here in the earth. But whatever it is, whether it's a healing, whether it's a financial miracle, whether it's a breakthrough for a prodigal, whether it's a relationship breakthrough, I really want to encourage you all, because of the season that we're in. And if you all saw Shiloh last Sunday, you know, when I was sharing, I was reiterating that we are in a season of warfare. And that's not a negative thing. That's not a, oh my gosh, the enemy is winning. Oh my gosh, the kingdom isn't working. That's why there's warfare. No, when we look in scriptures, the reason there are times of warfare is for the people of God to take territory. And one of the things I have to be reminded when things are this intense on so many fronts, is that seasons of warfare are not a bad thing. They can be a challenging thing. They can be a heartbreaking thing. They can be a difficult thing, but they're not a bad thing. They are a thing where God highlights that to us because we are in the earth to co-labor with him to advance the kingdom. Sometimes that's done one way. Sometimes it's done another way. Sometimes it's done another way. And sometimes there are warfare seasons. And in prayer one morning, the Lord had to remind me, because again, since family time, I'll be honest with you, with so many things going on and so many near and dear to me going through so much, and you pray and you contend and you believe, to be blunt, I was getting really weary. And there was a part of me that was just like, enough already. And I just wanted to lay down and curl up at a ball and say, Lord, I just want to go to sleep until it's all better. But, you know, that's not what we're here for. And the Lord showed me, even in the natural, there are seasons of warfare for legitimate natural reasons. And when I was young, when I was in my teens, I read a lot about World War II. I am no expert. I am no scholar, but I would read different books on different things. And that was a time when, as a nation, we finally decided it's time for a season of warfare. It's time to take a stand against wickedness and to take a stand for what we believe is right, the earth. And it's the same in the kingdom, but better, because God is pure. It's not a political system. It's not political disagreements. I mean, hopefully World War II is a fairly clear example of real wickedness through Nazi Germany and the Empire of Japan, and how they were, what they were doing in different regions. A stand needed to be taken. But if we hadn't taken a stand against that in the natural, that would have run amok. And we see that with Neville Chamberlain, who to my reading seems like he was a very, very dear man, but he had been so wounded by the trauma of the national level trauma and international level trauma of World War I, that his policy was never again, never go to war again. It's never worth it to go to war. And his voice was one of the ones that really kind of allowed Hitler to run rampant through Germany. But, you know, love always sees the best. And now, as a Christian, when I read about Neville Chamberlain, I think, what a precious man. He wanted to save everybody from suffering because he saw how horrible war is. And war is horrible. But it took a Winston Churchill that a lot of people didn't like. The opposing party didn't like. His party didn't like. Nobody liked. The king didn't even like it first. It took a Winston Churchill to say, you know what? I don't really care what you think of me. I know what's right, and we're going to take a stand. And if it's just us, we're going to do it. Now, that's all debatable, depending on your politics and your position, because that's all from a man and from a system of man. But I'm using that as an example, because when God says it's a season of war, we can be completely confident, because that's not the system of man. That's not the opinion of man of saying, I think I know what's right, or I, you know, Winston Churchill was gloriously confident. He's one of my heroes, I'll admit it. But he also made mistakes because he was a man, but he always seemed confident. Well, God doesn't make mistakes. So when God highlights to us, like he did through our ministry in 2020 and even near the end of 2019, that we were coming into a new year, a new decade, a new season, and a new era, and it would be one of warfare, and you live differently during seasons of warfare, that's not to be afraid, it's to be prepared. The other thing the Lord showed me was, A, even though things are very intense on a lot of fronts right now, A, we have the victory. My thing is to labor into the rest of God and then contend from the rest because it's finished. But he also reminded me, because I was weary and did admit to him, Lord, I just want to curl up and go to sleep till it's all better. And he gave me this picture in my mind of Normandy Beach on D-Day, which, again, I am no expert, and if you're not familiar with the Battle of D-Day, it was one of the turning points in World War II, but it was a very, very difficult battle. And he showed me that, like, none of the men, none of the soldiers storming the beach on D-Day just sat down and went to sleep, because if they had curled up and gone to sleep till it was all over, there never would have been a victory. They had to contend for a victory. We get to contend from a victory because Christ has already done all, won all, and given all. But he was reminding me, now do not weary in doing good. If you're weary, you'll actually be strengthened by contending. Don't believe the lie that you're powerless and none of this is making a difference, but actually double down on praise and worship and prayer and decree, because that's what's going, and focus on the victory that we have as opposed to the current circumstances. Now, you all have probably heard me and Patricia teach lots and lots on contending from the victory. You may have read my book, Winning the Battle for Your Mind, Will, and Emotions, which is all about how to live from the place of victory and unlock the supernatural atmosphere shifting power God has given us through our mind, will, and emotions. There's lots of teachings on healing the soul. God gave me a decade of mentoring in actually how to unlock the supernatural divine power of the soul, which is what that book's about. But it begins with everything I'm relearning in this season right now, contending, contending, contending from the victory. But contending from the victory, maintaining that eternal perspective, one of the keys God gave me, and it's wonderful how so often the kingdom's a paradox, one of the keys God gave me is to truly contend and contend from the victory and maintain an eternal perspective, one of the things you can't do is ignore temporary circumstances. Because you'd think, well, the key is ignore the medical report, ignore the bank statement. But if you ignore that, you're kind of checking out, because those things, those temporary circumstances, are actually what God's showing us what we target to contend against from the victory. So for like my 12 years of mysterious medical condition, the Lord never told me to ignore or deny my temporary circumstances. He taught me how to target those temporary circumstances from an eternal perspective. And I came into a understanding, and I probably just scratched the surface compared to the Apostle Paul, but a real understanding to me of when the Apostle Paul says these light and momentary afflictions are nothing compared to the weight of glory that will be revealed. I came to understand through the mentoring of the Holy Spirit that what that means is A, what he calls light and momentary often don't look or feel light or seem momentary, but from an eternal perspective, they are, because the span of our life is momentary compared to our eternal reward. So for me, I had to get past self-pity and murmuring and complaining, because I'm thinking light and momentary, this has been over a decade. But what I realized he was saying was, compared to not denying your circumstances, but targeting your temporary circumstances with eternal truth, the next part comes in of the weight of glory that's revealed. When I was a young Christian and read that, I thought that meant like the treasure we were laying up in heaven for when we go home. And he helped me see, no. It's the weight of glory that is revealed in the earth by you laying hold of eternal truth and targeting temporary circumstances with that. We become this like pipeline, or like Jesus taught Peter in Matthew 16, we become this gate of heaven into the earth by what? Loosing what has been loose from heaven into the earth and binding what has been bound in heaven, binding it in the earth. What does that mean? We are seeing the temporary circumstances, whether it's a health challenge, a political challenge, a prodigal challenge, a relationship challenge, a financial challenge, a favor challenge, a fill in the blank challenge. We don't deny the circumstances. We target them with eternal truth by declaring. I talked to somebody a couple of weeks ago. They said, God told me to spend the next year really building my ministry, but no matter what I do, nothing seems to happen. Doors just don't seem to be opening for me. And I told them, I said, okay, I know where you're coming from. Those are your temporary circumstances. I'm going to tell you something that's going to sound like just a typical Christianese rah-rah, but I know that it's true. The enemy is resisting you at the level he's resisting you because of what you will come into. Here's your key. You have to stop declaring over yourself that doors aren't opening. You don't deny that they aren't, but you target that by declaring, I am blessed and highly favored. Every day I grow in favor with God and with man. The Lord is sending angels out before me to declare my favor, to trumpet my favor, to open the doors. And then I said, the key is, don't have such a picture in your mind of what that has to look like that you miss what God is doing. Because remember, the kingdom usually begins, the grandest things of the kingdom usually begin in naturally small ways. The Messiah is the great example. Not only did the King of Kings come as a baby, but he came as a baby in a way that everybody but his mom, dad, and three shepherds missed it. So that's a good example of, and he heard me and he's like, yeah, but sometimes it's frustrating. I said, that's what I'm here for. You come to me. I know what it's like to be frustrated, but I also know what it was like to have people I could turn to and say, I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting weary. And they didn't preach at me. They didn't lecture me. They reminded me. So from what Patricia's going through, to what Uri's going through, to what United States of America is going through, to what England and Canada are going through, and many nations, but those are the ones I know the most about right now. I stay aware of the temporary circumstances, but I target them with eternal truth. And I am asking the Lord to give me the grace, especially when I'm weary, not to just curl up and give up. Now, the other thing I'll tell you is he does tell me every once in a while, it's okay to have some R&R, don't give up. Just take an afternoon, spend time with me, you know, because I'm learning. I can be so focused. I am not a good multitasker. I either kind of have to hyper focus or my mind just wanders all over the place. So I tend to get hyper focused, which is good. And I'm like targeting this one thing, and I've got decrees for this one thing, and I'm searching the Bible for more decrees in this one area. And I am decreeing, and I am warring, and I am expecting. And the Lord has showed me that even in times of natural war, the soldiers need R&R, rest and recreation. And they would take, you know, they'd get a 2-day pass or a 1-day pass or an afternoon pass. And he was telling me it's okay to take some time, but it's not giving up or giving in. Don't lay down. Don't get weary. Don't go to sleep. When I highlight it's time for a break, take a break and then spend time praising and worship me without contending. Just make it a me and you time. Or like the other day, my friends, Ben and Jody, I was down in Maricopa to get some work done and before coming back up to Scottsdale to take care of Uri. Ben and Jody called me or texted me and said, hey, we're making dinner. If you're in town, come on over. Then we're going to watch a movie. And I was thinking, I've got some things to do. But the Lord really came on my heart and he was like, no, go and do this, spend time with friends, go and eat, go and have fellowship. And then we ended up watching a Marvel movie and having a fun time watching superheroes. And it was, you know, 3.5-4 hours, but I was refreshed and I was ready for the battle the next day. So none of this has to do with our mentoring topic for the month, but it has to do with kingdom living in a season of warfare. And I really did want to give you all an update on Patricia and let you know that she's actually doing really well, and we're hopeful and we're expectant. And even more than that, we are in so much faith that what the Lord declared over her at her 70th birthday and 40 years in ministry celebration, we will see. And it's funny, Uri was said to me the other day when we were talking about some things I was going to do to help out with the ministry. She said, well, isn't it interesting? Because she and Patricia are on about the same schedule. You know, they're both looking by the end of the year, everything will be done, everything will be won, everything will be sorted, and they'll both be healthy and whole again and back to full strength. And she said, isn't it interesting that your wife and your mother are on this, or your spiritual mother are on the same schedule? And I said, yeah, I said, you know me, there's a part of me that just wants to close my eyes until we get to December. But the Lord's very clear, that's not an effective strategy. And the last thing I'll say, and then we'll throw it open to all you guys, is the other thing I'm being reminded of, that have you ever noticed that some of your deepest truths you have to learn over and over and over again? The good news is that means they're going deeper and deeper and deeper. The good thing that God is reminding me of, and I'm relearning in this season, is I'm a destination guy. You know, I get very focused. I'm very destination oriented. I'm very project and solution oriented. That's a good thing because I see the end and I contend from the victory for that full manifestation. But one of the things God is reminding me of in this season is while that's really good, you also want to be on the lookout for the early fruit because it's encouraging. So like even with what Uri is going through, to hear the doctors say, we've never seen anybody respond to treatments as well as you have. I could be so hyper-focused on the end result I know is coming, is not even hear that and be like, I don't want to hear anything until the tumor's completely gone and her lymph nodes are completely clear. But I hear that and I go, yes, it's working. Yes, it's manifesting. Yes, hear that the tumor is dying from the inside. To hear from Patricia's doctors how well she's doing and that her heart is really, really healthy and that everyone knows she's going to come through this. That's early fruit. It's just like in the book of Luke when Mary has had this angelic visitation. The Holy Spirit has overshadowed her. She's gotten these impossible words that make no sense whatsoever about birthing the Messiah. And yet when she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who's also living out a miracle baby creation by God, when it says that the baby leapt in Elizabeth's belly because Elizabeth and the baby are filled with the Holy Spirit, God highlighted that to me years ago as an example of early fruit. Because what did Jesus come for? He came to take away all the sins of all the earth. Absolutely. But why? A, so we can be restored to relationship with our Heavenly Father. Because he didn't just come to deal with sin. He came to deal with sin so we could be restored to relationship. Sometimes we forget that's the thing. He was not project-oriented. He was relationship-oriented. But to bring us back into relationship, there was this project of him having to manifest and do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. But the other half of the why that he came was for relationship to be restored, because holy can't be in union with unholy. God can't be in union and communion with us unless we are free of sin, and we couldn't do that, so Jesus did it for us. But it's also so we could be filled with his Holy Spirit to be representatives of him in the earth. So here he goes as a fetus, as a early manifestation, not even close to the fullness of what he'd be in the earth. And we see both Elizabeth and I think 6 month old baby John in the womb filled with the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus come for? To save everybody, to get them filled with the Holy Spirit so they could be dominion stewards in the earth. Early fruit. That was a sign to Mary of, oh my gosh, all these crazy words that are so hard to understand, yet let alone believe. Look, early fruit. I'm encouraged. So I wanted to remind you guys in this month, when our topic has been the power to create wealth. As you know, wealth means way more than finances. It can, but it can mean a wealth of favor, a wealth of love, a wealth of patience, a wealth of joy, a wealth of fill in the blank, a wealth of any of the spiritual blessings we have been blessed with in Christ Jesus. One of the things that I find so powerful about this is God does not promise, I will give you wealth. He can. I've had, if you've listened to our mentoring audios that Patricia and I sent out, you probably heard the one I did on how I've had supernatural deposits in my bank account. But God doesn't promise to do that. He can do that. He can do anything. What he promises in Deuteronomy 8:18 is he gives us the ability. He gives us the power to co-labor with him and his kingdom principles to create wealth. And we won't unpack all of that this morning because I want to hear from you guys. But one of the ways we can do that is just what we're talking about. Stay focused on the eternal truth, target your temporary circumstances with that eternal truth, live according to kingdom principles, or if you're like me, come back again and again to living according to kingdom principles because you found you wandered off a little bit in weariness or frustration, but God's always there to bring us right back into alignment and remind us of the power of living that way. But the other thing that works for me again and again, because I happen to be so destination and project focused, is look for that early fruit of encouragement to remind you. Because right now, I'm contending for a wealth of health in my wife and in Patricia. And so I am learning to know the truth that they're healed, that they're set free, that there's many years to come. My wife has many prophetic words over her for the prophets we have not manifested yet. Same for Patricia from her birthday. So we target temporary circumstances with the eternal truth, but we also look for that early fruit along the way to stay encouraged. Why? So we keep laying hold of the power God has given us to create wealth in any area. And that's declaring the word, that's worshiping, that's when it comes to, say, finance, it's tithing, it's sowing, it's reaping. He's given us the ability. We step into it and we continue to contend for it, targeting our temporary circumstances with eternal truth. I hope that all helped. So now let's hear from you. Questions, comments, prayer requests. Yes. Sheila, I don't know if I unmute you or you unmute yourself.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yes.
Okay. Well, blessings, everybody. As I was listening, I really felt two things that, Robert, you've had Katie Souza on your show before. And Katie has released a very powerful word. I heard it on Liz Wright, Living Your Best Life. Katie was given information from the Lord that the body of believers are under a class action suit in the courts of heaven. So the enemy used Israel's infidelity in Ezra chapters 4-6. It's a body of believers, so it's not been against individuals. So this topic, create wealth, and everybody being attacked in many different fronts. I think this is really a Rhema word for this group. Because Katie is a member of the church, right, at Shiloh?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And Katie's spiritual sister and spiritual daughter to Patricia. Absolutely.
She has said she's given 4 sermons, and she's had so much come back to her in many ways. But I'm just going to, if you have time, everybody, it's really worth it. So,
yeah, is it quick, though? Because I want to make sure everybody gets a chance to ask questions and have prayer reports.
I think this is fundamental that I say this.
I hear you.
And it's quick. It's quick. Okay. Basically, this is a class action suit against all believers. So if everybody can listen to her YouTube, she goes into the decrees. But basically, in Ezra, they told them to stop building the temple, which is each one of us. So they said there was a decree that you're going to stop building the temple. So for 18 years, they did. And then they started prophesying to rebuild it again. And they started to come against them, which is what's happening in the body of Christ right now. So then the king said, you can't build anymore because all of you are unfaithful, etc. And then they said, no, make a search of the records that Cyrus did allow us to rebuild. And yes, we were unfaithful. Yes, we were wrong. But we have it. And in essence, they did a search. And it says, I decree concerning what you shall do for the elders of the Jews for rebuilding of the house of God. The cost is to be paid to these men in full without delay from the royal revenue. The tribute of the province is beyond the river. And then another one is, she says, I have issued a decree that whoever shall violate this word, the timber will be pulled down from his own house and arranged so that he may be hanged on it. This shall be a house made for a dunghill for the Lord. Their house. So any demons that are not delivering what they needed every day to rebuild their temple, we have the right to say, your timbers of your house are going to be pulled down. It's very powerful. It's very right important on. That you watch this.
And you
from
said
Katie.
On YouTube, if you search for Liz Wright and look for her show with Katie, they can see that in full.
Yes, it's judicial Excellent. Decree. And that's what they could say on that. But I felt like while I was listening to you and I'm asking the Lord, how does this tie with wealth? Well, he gives us the power to birth wealth. But that power right now is to listen to this decree, because you could just feel the word of God, the weight of God falling on that every day they were to deliver to the priests, which were all kings and priests, what they needed, whether it was bulls or offerings. So Katie talked about any emotional need you need, any physical need, and everything. So sorry awesome. If that was too long, but.
No, that's great.
No,
guys,
good.
If you want that in fullness, if that witnesses to you at all, go to YouTube and look for, is it Liz Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, Sheila? Oh, where'd you go?
Yes, that's correct.
Yes?
That is correct, yes.
Sheila, I'm trying to, you got muted. Let me un.
Yeah, that is correct. It's a judicial decree. She did it this Monday. So it's Liz Wright, Live Your Best Life, and it's
Live
titled, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Anybody else?
I just want to thank you. In a time like this, I just think that it's exciting to hear what you said, Robert. I just say bravo. It's like taking a Holy Spirit pep pill. And we need this. Thank you so much. And thank you, Sheila, for leading me into this in every regard. I wish my son could have heard this, because
we do record it. And I think Shelley will send out a link so you can, please feel free to share it with them. I'm seeing your phone number, but I'm not seeing your name. And I'm sorry, I'm not recognizing your voice. Remind us who you are.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
I'm Molly Bradley.
Hi, Molly. I just, if it's, you're on your phone, correct?
I am. On a landline.
Good. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, Molly, I'm so glad you could join us. And Sheila, thank you for telling Molly about this. That's awesome.
Yes, it is. And I'm going to get that recording.
Yeah, I'm going to go look at it too. I love, I don't know Liz Wright, but I sure love the teaching of Katie.
Well, no, I'm going to get
your
recording.
Thank you so much for being with Molly. Right. Yeah. You obviously get our emails because you got the email about this, right, Molly?
Oh yeah, I've been a partner with Patricia since the beginning.
Oh,
I'm very good friends with Mary Maynard and Russell, long before Mary was even, we prayed for that wedding when she was Mary Sant. And we are very close in the spirit with each other for a lot of reasons. Very, very, very close. I've heard Patricia back when she was in Nashville at Mickey Park's church with the healing rooms, and she had long hair.
Wow, I've never known her with long hair. You do go
way
back.
Yeah, she did. It went down to her shoulders. Yes, yes. And I went to hear her all the way from Alabama and drove up, and I was in I've been in spiritual warfare. Robert, that's one of the reasons why I so love listening to you, is because I've been through that same spiritual warfare. I mean, really and truly, I became a Christian when I was 4, and Jesus was my best friend when I was a little girl, and the warfare has just been enormous. And I love it when I hear you speak, because your testimony, even as you spoke today, it just kindles up that I am a warrior. You know, I've got Irish blood, and Scottish blood, can't help but be a warrior in the spirit. But it's being with people who are in the military unit with you, who have been trained, who pull you up. You know, we really are the warriors who pull each other up in the military group. And I praise God for this conversation today. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My mom's family and my sword of the spirit, I always think it's a claymore.
What, you broke up. I didn't hear your last.
Oh, I said my family is from Scotland, and I always think of my sword of the spirit as a claymore, one of those really big Scottish swords.
Oh, yeah, good news. Yeah. And big, strong
Thank
muscles
you.
To wield it. Yes.
Yeah, his muscles. Thank you so much for being with us. Anybody else? Comments, prayer requests, insights? Wave
I do
your
ask
hand
for prayer.
Or just unmute yourself. Okay, wait. Nancy, we'll come right back to you. But Molly, what's your prayer request?
And I think you understand this. My children have seen this incredible warfare against our family. Their daddy was killed tragically and absolutely from the enemy when he was 37. And he was in the ministry. And I have stood in the faith. There are 4 of them, my children. And they are so unbelieving of my standing in faith. They think it's a weakness. And our friends in our church who have stood, their children are in the same place. And I covet the prayers for the children of the warriors who are standing, because, I mean, they're 40 years old, 30, 40 years old, but they're going, Mom, we can't believe what you say anymore.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I think almost all of our families deal with something of that on some level. Yeah, Lord, we lift up. What are your 4 children's names, Molly?
Virginia, Gates, Ben, and Christopher.
Lord, we lift Virginia, Gates, Ben, and Christopher up to you. And God, we know you have the solution. Lord, the enemy stole something from them and a wound got in. Understandable, God, but I ask first of all that you would release your love, your light, your life, and your blood to heal the trauma of losing their father so young, to heal the trauma of that. And God, anywhere that the enemy got a lie in, that either he was more powerful or that God was not real, we ask that you would heal that. And Lord, as opposed to the enemy using Molly's stand of faith as a way to bring distance with her kids, that Lord, you would reverse that, because you promise what the enemy means for harm, you turn to the good. So we say every single bit of what the enemy has done to harm this family, to harm this bloodline, to harm those children, to harm their faith, to harm their relationship with God, to harm their calling, we declare, Lord, that you are turning it to the good. And God, I ask for an acceleration of that right now. I ask for breakthrough of that right now. I ask, Lord, for dreams, for visions, that you would interrupt their natural dreams, and you would visit them and you would speak to them. God, you do it for unbelievers all over the world. We are lifting them up to you, and you promise you reveal yourself to those who are not looking, and you will show yourself to those who are not seeking. So even if they are dead set against you and not looking or seeking for you, you are looking for and seeking them. And we come into agreement with that, and we say, eyes be open, hearts be open, minds be open, ears be open to receive the love, light, life, and truth of Jesus Christ. And we bind every work of the enemy that would deafen, blind, or confuse them in any way to turn them away from God. And we say that shifts now, and Lord, let them be drawn to you. We declare the friendship of God is felt this household, this bloodline, and this family, because Molly has refused anything but faith and friendship with God. So the friendship of God, the Job 29 friendship of God, is over this family and this household. And we ask you to bathe these children's paths in butter. Release oil from the rock of Jesus Christ to smooth their way away from the enemy's lies, away from the world, and to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Robert. Thank you. Amen.
You're so welcome. And Sheila's blowing the shofar. I love it.
I love it. Thank you.
Unmute yourself and blow that shofar, Sheila.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise be to our Lord Jesus.
Through. Thank you. Molly, yes. We look forward to the good report, and be on the lookout for the early fruit, even if it's a softening of the heart. And we're going to praise with you right along the way till they're all back in fully into the heart of the Father.
Thank you. And blessings on your families, all of you, my partners.
Amen. Yes, Nancy.
Hi. We've kind of had a heartbreaking situation happen in our local church, and we've been interceding for almost a year now, and we really are, trying to come in the opposite spirit and keep declaring the right thing and saying the right words, but nothing's really changing and nothing's happening. And so we're feeling like, gosh, this might be a transition for us, and how do we know where the Lord is leading us, and how do we hear that clearly? And so we're really trying to, follow him and hear him. But he hasn't given us a lot of direction except that, finish strong, honor, keep your love on, all those things. And so we could really use some prayer for that, and just to be led clearly.
Sure. Yeah.
Absolutely. Lord, we want to thank you that you are the God of wisdom, and you say, ask for wisdom and you will give it. Lord, so we agree with that is what you are doing. And the wisdom right now may be to stand pat. But Lord, you made us, and you know there's something in us that when we love you, we want to make sure we're on the right path with you. So Lord, we ask for wisdom. We know you'll give wisdom. By faith, we are receiving the wisdom. And Lord, we lay hold of the truth of Jeremiah 33:3, that we are crying out to you on the Johnson's behalf, that you will speak to them of great and mighty things of which they do not yet know, whether that's the timing, whether that's the path, whether that's additional prayer and intercession strategies. But Lord, you are in this. You love everybody in this. And I honor the Johnsons for following your wisdom that you've given them to stay in the place of love, to finish strong, to continue to contend, to try to see the best in all of this. Lord, that never, ever, ever fails. But God, we're also asking for when the season shifts, and whether that's a shift from not knowing what to do to what to do, from being there to moving on, that they are committed to finishing strong, and Lord, continue to strengthen them body, soul, and spirit, strengthen them with wisdom, strengthen them with favor. And Lord, whatever comes next, we are asking, make it clear in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Lord, anywhere they're weary, anywhere they're worn down, anywhere they're discouraged, anywhere they've been hurt by this, God, I ask that right now you would apply the balm of Gilead to body, to soul, to mind. And Lord, that all of that would be healed. And we declare as they are finishing strong in this season, they are entering strong in the next season, whatever and wherever that is, even if it's right where they are, Lord, but there will be new things, new doors opening, new peace, new whatever this situation is that's been heartbreaking. It will be fully resolved according to kingdom principles and your plans and purposes, God. And we thank you again that you turn all things to the good. And Lord, I thank you that you are doing a great work, not only in the Johnsons, but through the Johnsons to see your kingdom come and your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hey, Rob, for Florida.
Oh, wait. I see Edie raising her hand, but is it Laura?
Laura Kelly from Florida, Orlando. Okay. Orlando.
Eddie, we'll come right back to you. Go ahead, Laura.
Good to see you too. I keep meaning to call you Rob instead of Robert. So sorry, I know the change, but yeah, it's all good.
No worries.
Just sending my love to you and Patricia and your wife. And I knew Pat also. So just my condolences there. And I had written something, about to Scott. So.
Yeah, just so you guys know, the dear friend that we lost was named Pat. She's Pat Larson.
Yeah, she was awesome.
And, thank you, Laura.
My spiritual mom, Joy. I don't know if you knew that Joy. She had passed in.
I didn't. I'm so sorry. Wow.
But I know she's watching out for all of us, and I know she's praying for Patricia. So just, go get them, guys. I just came out of a lot of warfare, so I'm full of happiness and joy. So I just released
that.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. All you guys. Happy to be here today. On. I usually miss them. So yeah, love to you guys. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. And thank you for the praise report. That's right. There's early fruit. See, we do get through.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Great things on the other side. Yay, God. Thank you, Laura. Yeah.
Amen. Have a great day. Shalom.
Thank you. All right. From Florida, the UK. I'm unmuting you.
Hi, Rob. Thank you so much. Hi. It is Eddie. You got it right.
I know. I always vacillate between Eddie and Edie. It's ridiculous because I can't. The number of times I've met you.
I know. I'm so sorry. The children have said to me, Mom, you can't change the way you spell it. So.
No.
Just to say, I just felt the Lord saying, would you pray for Caroline? Everybody that has supported her, she loses everybody, whether it's a friend, suddenly the friend's husband dies and she can't see the friend. The latest thing is her nutritionist, who she was trying to help her after she caught COVID. Her husband has now died. So Caroline regularly loses all her support. Bless her heart, she pushes in for the Lord all the time, does supplements and everything, just spends her time soaking. But she was 35 the other day. And, you know, Rob, we're believing for total healing, for the energy to be restored. But yes, Lord. Lord.
Caroline, it's good to see you. For those of you who aren't aware, Caroline is a dear friend of our ministry. She's gone through, was it two internships you did with us, Caroline?
I was there and then in Cambodia with Andrea.
That's right. Yeah. She's done two different internships with us. Most of our team knows her except for the newest members. And she is one of God's great warriors. And I get emotional because she has contended with so many different things that have sapped her strength and life and seemingly opportunities. And yet she continues to press in, continues to contend. I know what it was like for my 12-year battle. And Caroline, I want to honor you because I actually think you fight it better than I did. You're amazing. But did your mom just say you turned 35 the other day?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I don't think you look a day over 25. I had no idea you were in your 30s. I still think of you as in your 20s. But we're going to lift you up right now. But guys, what we're going to put our faith out for is this is one of those challenges where we know it has to be spiritual because it's so confusing physically. But while it's a spiritual battle, it is manifesting physically, and we need breakthrough. It's time for breakthrough. So, Lord, we lift Caroline up to you, and we're not going to say anything that you don't already know, but we're going to start by honoring our sister. She is a true warrior. And even the sense I'm getting right now, Caroline, is like Saint Teresa of Avila, who had many health challenges for an extended period of time. But the choices she made drew her closer and closer to God until she went into a realm of intimacy with the Lord that much of the church didn't even understand. And that's what I see you like. And it's not that you won't, that I won't believe. I am believing for physical healing, but I am declaring right now that none of this will be wasted. And ultimately the enemy has stolen nothing from you. So Lord, we do declare the thief has been caught and he must pay back sevenfold. And we declare life and health and strength and vigor and vitality and finances have been stolen over these years. We command them to pay back sevenfold. And also we declare that Caroline will ravage the house of the enemy, that she will continue to be a great warrior for God, but where she's done it by faith and she's done it in hope, now she will begin to do it in strength. Lord, we thank you that whatever this is, you are the one who goes before her. You level the mountains, you smash through the gates, you cut through the bars of iron and smash through the gates of bronze. You are the God of Isaiah 45 for Caroline, and we come into agreement where anywhere the enemy feels he has contained, captured, or weakened her, right now we command that mountain of mysterious health challenges, be thou removed. Be cast into the sea that is God's love for Caroline. And Lord, loose to her right now health and life and strength. We speak to her immune system and we say, be strengthened. We speak to her cells, we speak to her systems, we speak to her blood, and we say, be strengthened. Anywhere there's a hidden virus, anywhere there's a hidden infection, we rebuke you, we curse you, and we command you to come out wherever you are. Every cell, every system, every organ, every gland, every bone, every tendon, every tissue, every fiber of her being, be strengthened now with the Zoe life of God, and every health challenge bow to the victory of Jesus Christ. It is time for victory. It is time for breakthrough, and it is time for payback. We lay hold of it in the spirit and we pull it down now. And Lord, I am asking that you do something for strengthened, lengthened relationship. You heard what Eddie said, Lord. Everyone who she feels comes alongside, something takes them away. Lord, we believe that you must have allowed this for your purposes because the devil's never winning. Yet, Lord, you hear the cry of the mother's heart and you know the cry of Caroline's heart. And she is looking for long-term allies, compatriots, and companions for the battle. Lord, I want to thank you for how you've strengthened her faith. And Lord, I know her, and I know that she doesn't often see the strength of her faith because these battles can be up and down. But God, the very fact that she's right here right now, still crying out for you, means her faith has been strengthened and deepened. And we honor her and we call out to you, use that faith and our faith that we're adding to it to establish life and health and strength in its fullness, breakthrough in its completeness. And you say many will volunteer in your time of power, and you are a God of power. And we ask that this be a time when many come alongside of Caroline as wisdom in the healthcare, wisdom in nutrition, but also allies and friends and brothers and sisters in the battle. In Jesus's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Robert.
Oh, thank you. You're so welcome. You're such a champion. Such a champion.
I know you understand. I said about 2 weeks ago, I said, other than God, I said, I think Robert's the only person who understands. So thank you.
Well, I really do think you're a champion. I'm very, very proud of you. There are people I know who have wrestled with their faith way more. And I want to be careful how I say this because it's all personal, but way more over what seems like way less. But a big deal is a big deal, right? No matter what it is. And it does us no good to look at someone and say, you know, how can that rattle your faith? I mean, it's the enemy knows what buttons to push. But bottom line, Caroline, you've been such a champion and such a warrior. And I want you to hear from others, because I know what it's like when you are a person of faith. You know, my wife always tells me, you hold yourself to such a high standard, you know, sometimes just take it easy on yourself. And I think I hear you, but I want to have a high standard, but I know you do too. But I also want to tell you what we see in you. We see a great champion, a warrior of faith, someone who refuses to stay down even when you're knocked down. And I don't know any great, I mean, this is probably a silly type of analogy, but if you're the greatest fighter in the world and never get knocked down, it's not that hard to show up in the ring. It's the ones who get knocked down over and over and over again, but get back up and say, I'm not quitting. Those are the ones who I look up to. And that's you.
Thank you. That's so kind. Thank you so much.
Well, we're past 10 o'clock, but if anybody has one, anything left, we can do one more. And anybody else, or we'll just pray and close this. And I can't thank you guys enough for taking time this morning to be with us. I love these.
May I just put one thing in? I don't want to interrupt someone.
Sure, Molly, go ahead, and then we'll close.
But Robert,
that's great.
Would you please tell Ron that I am putting my arms around him? He prayed when I was out there for the big tent in the desert. Ron prayed for my sons as a father would pray, and I just, there was a bonding there. And would you just please tell him that we are still hanging with his fatherly prayers, and that we love him, and I love him, and thank you.
Yes, I saw him yesterday. I'm not sure when I'll see him next, but I know I'll see him sometime soon. And that will mean a lot to him, Molly. That's
made
a really
huge
neat
difference.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yes,
okay, I'll let him know. Well, Lord, we thank you for this time together as family. Thank you that you gave all of us the ability to come together from different regions of the nation and different nations of the world. Lord, we love you so much. We're so grateful that you're with us in this season. And Lord, we're so grateful for your mercy and your patience and your understanding when we wrestle, that you continue to be there for us. We love you so, so much, Jesus. And I pray a blessing of your presence, of your power, and of the fullness of your goodness on every single one of our partners here and everywhere, those who couldn't be with us today. But God, I thank you. You say you will bless those who bless us. And God, there are few in the world who bless us the way our partners do, with their faith, with their prayers, with their faithfulness, with their generous giving. God, I ask for a special blessing on every single one of them. I ask for breakthrough where they need it. I ask for provision where they need it. I ask for protection where they need it. I ask for guidance where they need it. I thank you, thank you, thank you, that you meet all their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And I am asking you to bless them and surprise them even this week with the fullness of your goodness, especially in the areas where it's been difficult to continue to believe. I declare breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough in the fullness of your goodness in Jesus's name. Lord, we always declare that you love us with an everlasting love. You really, really do. And this time, God, we want to declare to you, we really, really love you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Yes. Thank you all so, so much
for being with us. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
I'm already looking forward to next month. Sorry I missed last month, but sometimes Patricia and I go back and forth on these, and then we're sometimes on them together, but we both love them, and we sure love you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody. Bye.